Hi there, everyone. My name is Andy, and I'm going to be talking about strawberry production in the upper Midwest today. Now, there are plenty of words that you could use to describe production in the upper Midwest of strawberries. Small, quaint. I like personal the best, though. And it really represents the relationship that exists between the farmers and the consumers themselves. It's mostly direct market, mostly farmers market, and a whole lot of you-pick operations. Now, on the West Coast, where it's mostly professionally picked, it's usually consumer picked in the upper Midwest. There are perennial matted row productions, and the farms themselves are very diverse in terms of the crops that are grown. There are very few dedicated strawberry farms in the upper Midwest. It's mostly small, diverse systems where strawberry plays a part in that role. Now, we use primarily June-bearing cultivars in the matted row system, and we only have about a four-to-week season from June to early July. And this is important to realize because of that interaction between all of the crops going on these small farms. It's not a huge deal that the harvest season isn't that long for these June-bearing strawberries, because once the June-bearing season ends, usually the harvest season for another crop picks up. And it has its very own specific place within the harvest season of that entire farm. Now, that's a very important thing to remember, so just store that away, because we're going to revisit that a little bit later on. And like I said, direct marketing, you pick. According to a 2012 census, there's about 2,000 acres of production in the upper Midwest. I'm quite skeptical of that number, actually. But this is a picture of a perennial matted row system just at one of my farmer collaborators. As you can see, no straw mulch used. There's a lot of variance, and it's not important in itself as much as it is important as part of the entire farming system. Yields for these June bearers are anywhere from 5 to 12,000 pounds per acre per year. It really depends on cultivar, really depends on location. So here's some numbers just from our outreach center in Morris, Minnesota. But if you go just a little bit north to Grand Rapids, to like a 4C area, the yields really drop. If you can get above 8,000 pounds per year, it would be a very good year. It's also important to realize that for these June bearers, that first year that you plant, you get no yields at all. So it's a perennial system where the first year you don't get anything. Recently, though, starting in 2013, the university started investing a lot more into revisiting day-neutral production in the upper Midwest. Now, in the late 1980s, my advisor's husband, Jim Luby, looked into day-neutral production in the upper Midwest, and it just didn't work with the varieties and the cultural practices that they had back then. The fruit was small, it was soft, it had very low yields, it just wasn't commercially viable. However, since then, we've been introduced to the raised bed production, plastic cultures, low tunnel practices, in addition to hardier cultivars released from California and the UK. And we decided to try revisiting day-neutral production again here. And instead of the perennial matted row system of the June bearers, the day-neutral system is annual. And this is important because you don't have to worry about overwintering. We have raised beds, you can use plastic culture, and you can use things like low tunnels as well. Starting in 2013, all this production research at the university has been on organically certified land as well. So the day-neutral yields compared to the June-bearing yields in the upper Midwest is pretty impressive. So we did a lot of low tunnel and no low tunnel yield production. We would get averages of around 20,000 pounds per acre per year. This is among six different day-neutral cultivars that we tried. As you can see, there's a decent amount of variance of these cultivars. In Portola for 2013 at the Morris site, we had scaled up averages of 38,000, but we would get with Seascape almost 10,000 at St. Paul in 2014. So it really depends on cultivar, just like the June-bearing varieties as well. The mean berry size of the cultivar and cultural practice treatments ranged anywhere from 9.75 to 18.11 grams, with a grand mean of around 13.82, and that was slightly larger than the June bearers that we grow here as well. Current day neutral research. So these have been essentially trials from 2013 to 2015 to try and see if the day neutral production could be commercially viable again in the upper Midwest. And we think that it can based on these yield numbers. Since then, we've been starting to branch out into other questions, such as nitrogen requirements. From 2013 to 2015, we also looked at different levels of inorganic nitrogen sources into the fertigation based off of the Cornell recommendation, I think, of 5 pounds of nitrogen per acre per week. And we tinkered with that a little bit and tried to see if we could get optimal levels for upper Midwest production. We have been working on pollinator habitat starting this year at the university as well. And what this involves is basically we have a stand of borage, and we would measure pollination efficiency and number of fertilized achenes in the fruit at certain intervals of distances away from that borage stand, which is pretty exciting stuff. And then also, there's got a picture of Heidi right here too. She's been doing a lot of work into different types of low tunnel plastic with UV filtering and infrared filtering plastics like that as well. Now, to summarize for the future, this day neutral production can get you decently high yields and also pretty high prices as well. From our research in 2013, we would donate to different sources, mostly the student organic farm, and they would sell them at farmers markets, and they would get around the equivalent of $8 a pound at the farmers markets for this fruit, and they would sell out essentially every single week. I have a collaborator that I've been working with in Hutchinson, Minnesota, who I was trying to get to use the raised bed day neutral system for a couple of years, and he finally tried it. It was sort of a surly compromise. He didn't use raised beds. He just planted the day neutrals and used straw mulch. And his yields weren't that high, but he was able to sell some of that fruit, all of his marketable fruit, to restaurants in the Twin Cities for $8 a quart, which I believe is around $11 or $12 a pound. We also tried growing the day neutrals in a straw mulch system in addition to the plastic culture. And while the plastic culture would get us averages anywhere from 20 to 38,000 pounds, the straw mulch system would give us anywhere from 8 to 12,000 pounds, even with the same fertigation. We would have essentially the same weed control, but I think that degradation of the straw mulch was tying up nitrogen as time went on. Now, when I introduced sort of this picture back here in my first slide of sort of the personal relationship or the personal nature of strawberry production in the upper Midwest, and how as the strawberry production season ends, other crops start to go on these farms, I've gone to several grower conferences. We've had field days, talked to farmers pushing. I would show the yield numbers and the comparisons of what you could get with the day neutrals compared to the June bearers, and there's a lot of pushback due to this culture of the small farm system and all of the crops growing at the same time. I would have farmers tell me, look, Andy, I get it. I get that I can get higher yields. I get I can charge more for it. I know that I can get a local and an organic premium, but I don't want to pick strawberries all year round because of all these other crops that I need to deal with too. I would have to completely destroy all of the other crops I'm growing on my farm and become a dedicated strawberry grower, and I don't want to do that. So I think the biggest cultural hurdle for upper Midwestern production is trying to integrate such an extended season from what's been useful and used in the past and how that can work on smaller farms where diversity of production is so valued. And that's all I have, so thank you very much.